Boys Lunch.
Here we go.
And we're back.
We're back.
It has been a hot minute. I don't remember the last time we recorded. Beginning of August?
3 weeks or so.
It was like right at the beginning of August. Yeah. It's now August 26th, so it's been a good 3+ weeks since we have met together.
Yeah, who would have thought the beginning of the school year would have been busy for us, but it has been. But you are listening to Boys Lunch Podcast, the podcast in which boys talk about
lunch.
For those that are new and have just turned it off. But yes, this is two Catholic teachers talking about
life
or stuff. I think it says life.
Yeah
it says life. Yeah. You can, as always, follow us on Instagram at Boys Lunch Podcast. Who knows if that's still active? You can always email us. We need to check our email.
I saw Casey working on his van or car or something.
Sorry. And I'm not working on the podcast.
Yeah, so he wasn't working on the podcast. Our intern, Casey, was working on a car in his driveway.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
You can always email us. I believe we have an email from Josh that we need to read if we can figure out the password. Josh, I promise we will read it. We just got to figure it out. And you can email us at boyslunch1@gmail.com.
What kind of genius made that Gmail?
I don't know.
That's a good email address.
Because I think if it's just without the one, you've lost a lot.
Yeah.
Do you want to start with a Pokemon discussion, or what do you want to do?
Okay, yeah. So pretty much since the beginning of July, my son Cisco has been asking us to talk about Pokemon for our podcast. So, Paul, who is your favorite Pokemon?
Favorite Pokemon? I've got two, actually, and you'll probably catch a theme here if you're one of the original 150 or 151.
There we go, Gen 1.
So that's a red edition, blue edition, probably a, I don't know if platinum's in there, yellow. Big Snorlax fan.
There we go.
And Slowpoke. So there's some throwbacks there. Not particularly powerful, but if you needed someone to step in and take a few blows, those two are going to get that job done for you. Also a big fan of Psyduck. Just a comical character.
Yes.
Yeah, again, there's a theme with all three of those. They're just kind of like comical oafs that are, though Psyduck does pack a punch. Now, I would leave him unevolved because I just think he's adorable.
I thought you were going to go basic. I thought you were going to go like the starters and stuff.
You
Charizard, are. Blastoise, but thank you.
I was a Bulbasaur guy, if you're going to ask.
Okay, that says a lot. That's like saying you're from Hufflepuff.
So, well, that's probably the house I would be in. Let's be honest.
Yeah, it does reveal a lot. I did do the house sorting when Pottermore came out, and I got sorted into Hufflepuff. And so then I just didn't play it anymore. I know it's
and
new,
I'm done
but
here.
I just didn't want it. Thank you if you are new for that. Like, Cisco, he's just like been asking for now 7 weeks for us to do
so that. Hi, Cisco. And then your favorite Pokemon, did you say it or did you dodge that question?
I mean, Blastoise. I was a Blastoise guy.
Blastoise guy.
Yeah. But Snorlax, too. Love Snorlax.
Of course.
So sorry if we just lost anybody from that, but
also want to say hi to Zalian Sienna. Just a shout out right off the bat because I don't want to forget at the end.
Anyway, I did find it. I got it.
The you got email, it?
Yeah.
Email? Is it worth it?
So the email is from notjoshvogel@gmail.com. So literally as the name came up on the side, it says not Josh Vogel.
He's made his own email address. Okay, gotcha.
Hello, Paul and Joe. I'm writing this from an anonymous email. I vandalized one of your classrooms, and it may take years to find it, but if you do, I hope you have a laugh. I wish you luck on this long journey. Love always, Callan.
That's perfect. Oh,
nice.
Not Josh. We appreciate you. That is hilarious. His Scott Vogel, Josh's dad, was, you need to read an email from Josh. He says it's really good or something like that.
Nice.
And you could tell that Scott was a little nervous. And I think admittedly so. That's hilarious.
I didn't even proofread that. I just like went for it. I guess we could edit it out if it was bad. But thank you, not Josh, for sending that. I cannot wait to find.
Love that he signed it, Calvin.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
That's a callback. So if you haven't listened to other episodes, listen to all of them now.
And the complexity of Josh and Callan's relationship.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it's been a while. I mean, so much has happened in August, but we are here. The school year has been going well so far. I think we had a good, in-service and like start to the year.
Yeah, had a little retreat where we got to go out to like Bloomington, right?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, a year of transition as well. We're welcomed quite a few new staff. We've got a new principal in Chris McGraw, Sean Foster, now president. And I think just a year further from lockdown, I think I've noticed, and I think others have too, that kids are just more excited to be back. There's something about school, a spirit that's kind of returned and a rejuvenation.
For sure. I think just more of like a deep breath has been taken and like kind of like we're, I don't know.
Yeah, this is how this works and like it's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just been kind of a different vibe, at least for like the faculty and staff. I think the kids too, mm-hmm. you can sense it. So yeah, it's been cool. Always cool to see, since I taught the seniors last year, now the seniors, kind of seeing them again and seeing how a lot of them have grown up and matured.
Yeah, this is cool. Just a phenomenal senior class as well. And I was fortunate to get to know them pretty well last year, and then they've been great this year. Some all-stars in that. I want to say,
who are you going to shout out?
I'm going to shout out Rim Lee, mostly to give Francesca Lee a hard time.
Yes.
So I guess a shout out to her as well, but
mostly to Rim.
I mean, that man is just the premier of the Lee family. He's just
the best for last.
He's just holding that senior class together. It's been a beautiful thing.
And just his knowledge of John Paul II's encyclical Fides et Ratio.
Yeah. Shout out to him for chanting, the faith and reason quote that you taught them so well senior year.
Yeah. So shout out to Rem and Francesca. Hope things are going well for you, Francesca. There was like a lot of people I've run into and I'm like, oh, I need to like shout them out on the next podcast. Now I feel bad.
Yeah.
One that I meant to do that I think it was in July, State Farm Park, Dylan Haddix, lifeguard.
Yeah.
We were talking and he's like, hey, you still do the podcast? I'm like, yeah. He's like, well, I don't listen, but mom does. He's like, nice. So to Mrs. Haddix, shout out. Thank you for listening. Dylan says he does listen to sometimes, but.
And Mrs. Lee too.
Yes, Mrs. Lee as well.
Yeah,
thank you,
Mrs. faithful
Lee.
Listener. Appreciate it. I feel like we've got a lot to get caught up on, but also.
Time's a ticking. We don't have the luxury that we had in the summer.
Yeah. We didn't have a couple hours to get a couple recorded. This is a true Boys Lunch podcast happening during lunch. So we got bells on either side of this and we're going to try to get it done in between.
Yeah. I'm waiting to eat my sandwich that I brought some deli meat in a plastic bag today and then left it in my classroom, not in the refrigerator for 4 hours.
Oh, geez. So pray for Joey.
Yeah, I'm about to go eat that. So, if you listen to this anytime soon, please pray for my wife and I.
Yes.
Labor's, it's starting to come. So
it's impending.
We're excited for new baby girl. So just pray that everything goes well. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. We're excited for you.
Are you?
It would be weird if
then act like it, Paul. I'm just kidding. You have nothing else to share?
I mean, I have plenty
to
share.
Yes, you do, Paul. Shout out to the Sakuras. The entire family, but specifically Chris and Andrea, saw them last night at curriculum night.
Oh, yeah.
So, the doctor.
What a family.
Yeah. Cool. TTYL, guys. That is talk to you later for those that did not grow up in the text era of the early 2000s. I saw a Mimi today. For those that
I hate that you called it that, but go ahead.
That's how it's spelled, Mimi. And it was a picture of a flip phone and it has like the connecting thing going on. And like it basically says, do you remember when you would hit the internet button? You frantically press 40 times exit because you thought you were gonna charge $100 for an opening. You're like, no. You try to exit out of it.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, especially our family had track phones, like Aaron and I growing up. Like you got units and like internet was just like, I don't know how many units it was, but you just
right.
You weren't going to burn them.
The satellites. No, they're going to charge me. That constant fear of accidentally opening the internet on your phone. Hey, as the new year starts,
new school year. Gotcha.
Yeah, because that's how we live. I don't know.
It's true.
Yeah. That is a nice, I think someone said it at our, did Chris say that, Mr. McGraw?
Yeah.
How like we have a nice job where we literally get to start over every year and have like a fresh start. Mm-hmm. So I think we just look at things in a new way because of that. And we've tried to give tips before on like starting new things, whether it's going to college or new job or just trying to start a routine. And I think one of the tips we've gotten before is just like making sure you're praying, obviously, and specifically in the morning. But I thought it would just be good to do like a practical topic. Something popped up on the interwebs, but it was actually a podcast from like 2 years ago. I didn't even see it. It just popped up from Jeff Cavins. He's a famous Catholic writer, author, teacher. But he just did like a quick thing on like 5 reasons why you should pray in the morning. And I listened to it and basically stole what he said because who knows if you'll listen to that thing. So
I hope Jeff isn't listening to this.
Jeff, how are you, man?
Please don't sue us.
Miss you. But anyway, I just thought it was good practical advice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that a good setup?
I think so.
And sometimes we've been getting into like discussions on different things that, I think are still interesting. But I wanted to give maybe just do one that was more a little bit more practical.
Well, yeah. And
applicable.
Then, and then just... the small group that you and I are a part of, we talked about that last night about how important, especially that morning prayer or just that that first victory of the day when we talk about training.
Did we talk about that last night?
Well, you weren't there.
I wasn't there. We were. Thanks for reminding
me.
Yeah,
sorry. When I say we.
I was going to text about 45 minutes in and be like, yeah, that's funny. But then I didn't.
But the we talked about how, like, yeah, how hard it is to train the will and how easily you can backslide. And one of those ways in which you can kind of start the day off in a negative way, and you can unfortunately let it, though you ought not to, let it kind of tail on you your day, is by not getting up when you thought you were going to, or setting aside a time in the morning to thank God and reflect.
When you wake up, are you I'm sure everyone's like scatterbrained for the first like minute or so. You're disoriented.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you normally settle pretty fast and like be like, okay, I'm ready? Or is it like take you a little bit to like?
It's like alarm goes off 5 a.m., stumble down the stairs, get the coffee made, you know, have some water. And then it's like, as the coffee's being brewed, then it's like, I'm just trying to stir myself. And then it's like, once I've poured a cup of coffee, then it's a, like, I can actually enter into it. But those first like 5 minutes, I'm just absolutely worthless.
A disclaimer for those people that are saying you're not a morning person, get over it. Okay. This is for everyone. Don't use your excuses. You're not a morning person. Everyone is, because we're people in the morning.
Well, I think no matter what time you get up, whether it's 9 a.m. or 4 a.m., you can get up 5 minutes earlier, 10 minutes earlier, right? You can carve that time.
Yeah, I just wanted to attack people. Sorry.
Of course. Or a lot of people do a prayer in the car, but.
Yeah, but here, more often than not, I feel like my discombobulated, like disoriented thing is more like a negative, like, oh my gosh, a new day. Like,
yeah.
I feel like it's normally a crummy time for me
where
it's like, I thought it was Friday, but it's actually Thursday. Or like you start to instantly think about like the stuff you didn't get to the day before.
Yep.
You're thinking about the stuff that you do have coming up, or you just lost bad in fantasy football the night before. Like that first, like when you're coming to, I feel like my tendency isn't always to like be like excited for what is coming next. It's always like all the worries start to flash back in.
Yeah.
And I, those are the moments where it's like the best for us to start to look at it. But should we just get into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
So I'm actually just going to list like his five. So I'm literally just stealing his podcast. But again, I think it's going to be helpful and we can kind of add our own little things in. But he said the five reasons why you should wake up and pray in the morning. Number one, Jesus Christ is the example. That's always a pretty good starting point, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think if you can do what Jesus has asked and shown us to do, you're feeling pretty good about yourself.
Not some kind of reconstruction of Jesus, because that's a lot of our favorite things nowadays is to be like, well, I think Jesus would have wanted this.
Yeah.
All right, let's look at what Jesus did. This is from the Gospel of Mark. It said, rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed and went to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Right?
Wow.
Okay, pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
That means it's dark out. That means you need to be getting up at 4:30, people. If Jesus did it, you're doing it. Now, it's a little bit easier in the winter. You can get up at 7:30. It might still be dark. So.
That's true.
But why did he go out early? Because why?
Looking to beat the day, looking to carve out that time, that space before the needs and demands of his life and the people around him that are around that need him, right?
Right. And I think it's saying something. If Christ did this every day and it was important to him, how much more important should it be for us?
Right.
Right. What Christ did throughout the day came out of his time in prayer in the morning, right? To meet with his Father, to learn, to receive, and just to see. And for us, like, we need that wisdom in the morning to kind of look at what the day is coming.
Yeah, that's where our strength ought to come from. It's what we should be anchored by.
And even if things, I think, are scratchy for you and you don't know what to say, like, just be there with him, be present, be attentive, look at him, speak to him, listen, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's the easiest one right there. If we're trying to live and model the life of Christ, that's what Christ did. He got up in the morning, and if he is praying, then we should take something from that. Number two is it establishes your trust for the day. Where are you going to place your trust that day? I think that's honestly a good question, right?
Yeah, because I think the temptation is to plan our day from start to finish. This is how it's going to go, and this is where, and this is how what I'm going to get out of it. And you know it never happens, and then we are so easily frustrated when it doesn't happen as we believe it ought to.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we're putting trust in ourselves and what we think and what we ought to be doing. When in reality. Sometimes, right, things are presented to us that are outside of our control, and it's how we react to those. And it's going back to who we trust in that this is what I'm supposed to be doing in this moment and do it with full love.
Yeah, because it's such a small moment that reflects a bigger moment of our life. Like, where are we putting our trust? That's the whole ego drama versus theodrama.
Right.
My own wants versus what God's plan is for me. if I'm waking up right away and just putting my trust in myself to just power through that day, especially those tough days, or like the days where nothing's going on, I'm like, I got this day out here, I can do whatever I want. If I'm just plowing through and just like trusting myself, it's not a good way to start. He quotes Psalm 143, "Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me know which way I should go. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. Deliver me from my enemies, and teach me to do your will." Like that is like, if that's not a good start to the day, right? Let your spirit lead me, deliver me from my enemies, teach me to do your will. Let me hear of your steadfast love. I think that's what all of us want, and that encouragement that we need in the morning.
Absolutely.
So it helps us understand what am I placing my trust in today? Right? Even if it's difficult, God's got me. Amen. Much healthier way to start today.
Amen.
The next one, God's mercy is fresh every morning. From Lamentations, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new or fresh every morning. Great is your faithfulness, Lord. Maybe you didn't do well yesterday. Maybe you did blow it, right? You treated someone poorly. You didn't do the task you needed to do. The nice thing about this is that the next day is a new chance to start, and God is here waiting for you. That's the whole prodigal son we've been doing thing. Like, there is this reset every single day. And it's something that Kaven said that I was like, yes. And that it's the same thing for last point number two. We don't need God's mercy starting at 4 p.m., right? We don't need his trust starting at 4 p.m. Like, if you are praying for the first time, like, good, I'm glad you're praying. But I know for me, like, I need to be able to receive that mercy and that love in the morning. I don't need it later at night. Well, I do need it later at night, but I'm going to need it all day.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm waiting that long, and that's like, I think a lot of times if you're not reflecting or starting off your day and like you're finally trying to pick up the pieces at 7 p.m., sometimes it's too late.
Yeah, it can be so difficult to kind of gather oneself for prayer in the evening. Some people are capable of doing it, but I still think that taking appreciation of the new dawn of the day, that like, again, what I was yesterday does not define what I am today. This is a new opportunity to cooperate with that grace and to love and to be better. And I think it's just a beautiful time to recognize that and to rest with that in the morning.
Gosh, and I you see a lot of similarities, I feel like, in secular culture. Like, people think it is a good idea to like make goals for your day and to like remind yourself of goals. Like, I think it's just a part of humanity. We need to do these things. Like, and how much better that we have that spiritual side of it and we have this all loving, all knowing God.
Yeah. Is there for us. And it brings an order to your day.
Yeah. Number four, great time to reboot. Yeah, number four, it's a great time to reboot. Every day reflects a lifetime. We start off the day with a lot more energy, and we end with us being tired. It's kind of this little like microcosm of our.
Hey, you lifetime. Talked about the cyclical nature of both the school year and of the liturgical year and of the day, and this idea that it works together. I think it's rebooting this born anew.
Right, and that's why from the 2 points before, I'm receiving his mercy afresh every morning. I'm placing my trust every morning. I'm receiving wisdom from that first one, what God's plan is for me, and everything's going to flow from that. And it is this new chance every day. That is what's nice about humanity, is that the sun rises, and as the light gets better, I think it's from Proverbs, he quoted this, "The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day." Like, we have this new chance every single day to rise up with the sun, and to hopefully, you know, keep that momentum going through the day. And then we get a little tired, get a little sleepy, get a little snacks. Sorry, I'm just getting hungry for my warm deli meat. The last one he said, establishes your expectations for the day. This is your time to establish those expectations in the context of what God's will is, to make those prayer intentions. I think that's a really important thing, knowing that your day is not just about you. This is when like when you pray for the people in your life, I pray for my wife, my kids, my students, my colleagues, the people on this mission together. Like, you're establishing your expectations for the day. These, he gave an example, like it's like sowing seeds. You don't know which one's going to grow and prosper that day, but you're putting it out there. Like, these are the things that I would love to do. These are the people I would love to, receive this great grace.
Yeah. And then also to set offerings, right? If I have a particular cross or struggle or something that if I don't remember to offer it up in that particular moment, I can do that here, right? I want the joys and sufferings in my day to be offered up in the intention for the intentions of this and that and for these particular reasons. So.
And maybe this isn't all just like a profoundly theological point, but it is so practical and so necessary. Mm-hmm. So if you're going through this list and you're like, okay, I kind of knew this stuff. Well, just like reflect a little bit. Are you actually doing this stuff?
Right.
Because a lot of us know this stuff, but yeah. Are you actually committing and doing it? So to run through those really quick again, Jesus is the example, establishes your trust for the day. Where are you placing your trust? God's mercy is fresh every single morning. It's a great time to reboot, and it establishes your expectations for the day. And I kind of did that. Something popped up. There was a guy on Matt Frad's podcast, and it was just a little clip, and he was talking about what Marcus Aurelius used to do in his morning, like some of these Stoics. And Marcus Aurelius, he would wake up every day, and he said, say to yourself upon rising, today I'm going to encounter someone who's a busybody, the rude, the nosy, the ungrateful. Remember this. So make yourself aware that today, you know what? It's probably not going to go perfect. There's going to be people in my life that are trying to stir up my joy a little bit, test my patience, my peace, all these different things. So reminding yourself in the morning, not necessarily like lowering your expectations, but being, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? More realistic about the reality of what's going to happen to you, the reality of humanity. Like understanding, I think when you're more aware and you're not as caught off guard.
Right.
When that person is maybe ungrateful.
And more prepared to be charitable, reminded that this is going to happen when it does. Like we're prepared to remain charitable in those moments.
And the second part is, yeah, remember this. Whatever a person's doing, somehow what they're doing makes sense to them in this point in their life. Don't fly off the handle. Don't let what they do bring out an inappropriate reaction in you. Consider that and try to figure out a way to calmly help them see the light. Mm. The reason they're choosing this is because in their mind, it seems right to them. Yeah. So even just being more empathetic and understanding, recognize this will happen to you, right? So like be ready, but also understand that they're not just trying to be evil for evil's sake. Mm. Like there's so much more to everyone. We all have our own story to be more understanding of that, because a lot of times we have our plans and it's other people that break up those plans in our life. So I thought that was kind of a good point to throw in there as well. Yeah. Why we're doing all this stuff, it is to make yourself aware and prepared to evangelize, to be charitable. Yeah. Yeah.
I think also be important to try to set some boundaries for that time of prayer, whether it be a space that you do it every day in, or something that I've started doing recently is I don't, you know, my phone is away from me, or I don't use my phone until a certain point in the morning. Because yeah, it's how easy we can become distracted. So if you can put that phone in another room, or if you can have it silenced and set away from you so that you're just making room, these practical things that kind of put you in a space that is not only one that you know is for prayer, but makes room for that prayer.
I've also found I cannot close my eyes. A lot of times in prayer, I like to close my eyes and think, and like just that kind of helps me. Like the physical things of like deep breathing, closing my eyes, like helps me get into a state I'm ready to receive. I cannot do that in the morning. It does not work very well.
Yeah, we've got a cross up on the opposite wall. The same thing. Like I can put my head back and then I'm gone. But if I've got that there, I've got that to focus on. It helps.
It is nice to have coffee. Caven's made a good point. He's like, some people are like, oh, all I got time for in the morning is to get my coffee. Like, or I'm not ready yet. I'm not like at my best. And it's like, dude, God does not need you at your best. Like he just needs you there. Like it's nice to have that coffee sometimes. But if all you have time to do, and I think you made a good point. No matter when you're getting up, you can get up 5 minutes earlier, 10 minutes earlier.
But, I told my students today in adoration, you start nodding your head and you fall asleep. What does a good father love to do? See his children at rest.
Yeah.
Like I was telling him, it's like
St. Joseph.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When we see our girls sleeping at night, like Mary always, like she'll take a picture and send me like, look how cute this is. I'm like, oh yes. I love watching them at peace.
Yeah.
At
rest. So. Unless they're being a turd. I would say one thing that's helped me is just scriptures. I don't know. It's kind of like.
Yeah, I think. Awesome. Having something to do in those moments of like restlessness as well. Like if you've run out of things to say, to just have the scriptures before you as well.
So, yeah. If you're somewhere that you don't know where to even start with this, but you want to do it, a good thing, even just pulling up the mass readings for the day.
Yeah.
Can give you something. I've been doing the liturgy hours. It's always been something that's been helpful to me. Mm-hmm. You can kind of look something like that up, but it helps give you some words to actually use, some vocabulary to speak with and think on in your prayer.
True.
So if you're stuck, you just like don't know what to do. Is yeah, I'm super tired. I don't even know what to say anymore.
Hi, God.
God's word does help us.
Yeah.
So, cool. Any shout outs?
I think I've done most of mine, but yeah, just thanks to my family for a wonderful summer. And yeah, excited for the seniors. Shout out to the senior class.
Yep, for sure.
For the kingdom?
For the kingdom.